Chapter 7. I'm sorry, but he's under sedation, and I cannot allow any visitors at this time. The aristocratic Virginia voice was quiet and courteous, but there was no hiding the anger that clouded the doctor's gray eyes. Is he able to talk? Donner asked. For a man who regained consciousness only minutes ago, his mental faculties are remarkably alert. The cloud remained behind the eyes. But don't let that fool you. He won't be playing any tennis for a while. Just how serious is his condition? Seagram asked. His condition is just that, serious. The doctor who operated on him aboard the Numa vessel did a beautiful job. The bullet wound in his left side will heal nicely. The other wound, however, left a neat little hairline crack in the skull. Your Mr. Copland will be having headaches for some time to come. We must see him now, Seagram said firmly. As I've told you, I'm sorry, but no visitors. Seagram took a step forward so that he was eye to eye with the doctor. Get this into your head, doctor. My friend and I are going into that room, whether you like it or not. If you personally try to stop us, we'll put you on one of your own operating tables. If you yell for attendance, we'll shoot them. If you call the police, they will respect our credentials and do what we tell them. Seagram paused, and his lips curled in a smug grin. Now then, doctor, the choice is yours. Copland lay flat on the bed, his face as white as the pillowcase behind his head, but his eyes were surprisingly bright. Before you ask, he said in a low rasp, I feel awful, and that's true. But don't tell me I look good, because that's a gross lie. Seagram pulled a chair up to the bed and smiled. We don't have much time, Sid, so if you feel up to it, we'll jump right in. Copland nodded to the tubes connected to his arm. These drugs are fogging my mind, but I'll stay with you as long as I can. Donner nodded. We came for the answer to the billion-dollar question. I found traces of bizanium, if that's what you mean. You actually found it. Are you certain? My field tests were by no stroke of the imagination as accurate as lab analysis might have been, but I'm 99% positive it was bizanium. Thank God, Seagram sighed. Did you come up with an assay figure? He asked. I did. How much, how many pounds of bizanium do you reckon can be extracted from Bednaya Mountain? With luck, maybe a teaspoonful. At first, Seagram didn't get it. Then it sunk in. Donner sat frozen and expressionless, his hands clenched over the armrests of the chair. A teaspoonful, Seagram mumbled gloomily. Are you certain? You keep asking me if I'm certain. Copland's drawn face reddened with indignation. If you don't buy my word for it, send somebody else to that asshole of creation. Just a minute. Donner's hand was on Copland's shoulder. Novaya Zemlya was our only hope. You took more punishment than we had any right to expect. We're grateful, Sid, truly grateful. All hope isn't lost yet, Copland murmured. His eyelids drooped. Seagram didn't hear. He leaned over the bed. What was that, Sid? You've not lost yet. The bizanium was there. Donner moved closer. What do you mean the bizanium was there? Gone. Mined. You're not making sense. I stumbled over the tailings on the side of the mountain. Copland hesitated a moment. Dug into them. Are you saying someone has already mined the bizanium for Bednaya Mountain? Seagram asked incredulously. Yes. Dear God, Donner moaned. The Russians are on the same track. No. No, Copland whispered. Seagram placed his ear next to Copland's lips. Not the Russians. Seagram and Donner exchanged confused stares. Copland feebly clutched Seagram's hand. The Coloradans. Then his eyes closed, and he drifted into unconsciousness. They walked through the parking lot as a siren whined in the distance. "What do you suppose he meant?" Donner asked.
"It doesn't figure," Seagram answered vaguely. "It doesn't figure at all."